This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Craig D'Onofrio.
I'm Kip Allen.
And I'm Mary Schmidt.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
a massive earthquake struck the South American nation of Chile on April the 1st. Lutheran Disaster Relief was on the scene within days. I'm Kip Allen, and I'll speak with photographer Eric Lunsford about his experiences in the earthquake-ravaged area.
We have 6,200 Lutherans, but the number is not a big issue, I think, because the Korean Lutherans has a kind of the nickname of a little giant.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the way longer the Lutheran Firehound.
About 8:45 in the evening of April the 1st, the earth started shaking in Chile. Lutheran Church Missouri Synod official photographer Eric Lunsford says the epicenter was actually offshore from Iquique, a city of 180,000 souls.
In early April, an 8.2 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of Iquique, Chile, which is the northern part of Chile, about 95 kilometers northwest out into the sea from the city.
Eric says at first, the city seems intact, but that's deceptive. He says this particular type of earthquake is called a liar earthquake.
And I've heard this being called as a, quote, liar earthquake, as in someone's telling a lie.
At first glimpse, it seems that the city escaped serious damage.
Because on the outside, it doesn't look like there's a lot of damage. You know, sometimes I think there's, you know, in Tacloban in the Philippines that was just destroyed by Typhoon Haiyan. I mean, you see devastation there everywhere. Here, you still see buildings standing. You still see people moving about in their lives.
The damage wasn't apparent from the outside, but Eric says he saw a very different picture inside homes and other dwellings.
But when you look closely, that's where the damage is. For example, we were in an apartment complex and we were visiting some folks who were struggling with their housing because this apartment complex had been damaged in the earthquake. And when you walk into someone's living room, there are cracks that go all the way over through the ceiling, through the walls, and you know it's dangerous.
The Chilean people are trying to get on with their lives. But the earthquake's damage makes it impossible, as Eric saw when he went into one home.
You see people who are trying to just maintain their life in their home. You know, for example, we stop in this little home, and it's almost like a three-season room, and there's a family sitting at the table. And everything looks fine. But when you walk behind this one door, you can see the sky.
The reason he could see the sky was because an entire wall collapsed.
Because it's two floors, and the side of the wall has fallen in on their neighbor's house. So when you walk up the step, your railing is almost the neighbor's exterior wall. And as you walk, you feel the floor kind of give way a little bit. There's a sway in there. You see a little piece of crumbling rock. It's very dangerous.
Although most of the structures at Iquique are still standing, they are unsafe. The result is that an estimated 80,000 people are now homeless.
When you get down, you look at people's houses and you see, wow, they can't live in these. These are condemned. That's where the disaster is.
Eric says tent cities have sprung up all over the area as the homeless seek shelter for themselves and their families.
There are tents everywhere in Iquique. Different little parts of the city, little smatterings of tents. That's where people are living that are displaced.
Reportedly, the Chilean government's response to the disaster has been slow and somewhat ineffective. Eric says he saw growing anger by the people against the government in Santiago.
There was a protest brewing. You know, signs written by children would, you know, kind of shed some of that anger and that frustration. And you could feel that, you know, there's a presence of police and military. And you know something's going to kind of happen. So you kind of get this sixth sense of, you know, as a photojournalist, you're saying, okay, something might really go down here. And there is that kind of frustration there because I think people want to go on with their lives.
Much of what relief is coming into the area is from non-governmental organizations, such as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
LCMS Disaster Response, walking with our partners at the church in Chile down there, those are the folks who are visiting these people, checking on them, saying, how are you? How can we help you?
Before joining the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as its official photographer, Eric was a photojournalist for newspapers. He finds photographing such things for the Synod easier and much more gratifying than photographing for news organizations.
One thing I have to say about after being here at the LCMS for a while now is when I'm on assignment, compared to my work as a newspaper staff photographer, I am always delighted at how people embrace me coming in.
When Eric worked as a news photographer, he had to maintain a distance between the subjects and himself for the sake of objectivity. But as a representative of the Missouri Synod, the closer he can get to the subject, the better.
For me as a photographer, you know, when I worked in newspapers, sometimes it was about trying to gain that access, trying to gain that trust. We come in with this wonderful trust, sharing the gospel of Christ, and being able to make pictures and tell that story, and then at the end of our visit, perhaps pray or share some fellowship together. That's incredible.
Eric says that when people learn that he's from the Missouri Synod, they're anxious to speak to him and urge him to tell their stories.
You know, coming in from the Lutheran Church of the Missouri Synod, they say, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Here, please tell that story. Please tell that story.
Eric finds a commonality with the people he photographs, and he's thankful for the opportunity.
What's even more fascinating is maybe that person I who had met had just met and we're in two separate parts of the world, but we understand our identity, we understand where we come from, and we share that. And that has just been such a delight for me, and I'm so thankful that people let me into their lives, even that brief moment coming from around the world to tell that story. That I'm sincerely thankful, and thanks to God for having that chance.
Eric works closely with Lutheran Disaster Response. He goes with them whenever disaster strikes, often within hours of the calamity. The boots-on-the-ground concept practiced by the Lutheran Disaster Response is vital to its mission.
And what's really important about our disaster response is literally putting your shoes on the ground and going there.
Sharing, experiencing, and helping are part and parcel of the mission.
But unless you go there and you suffer with those people that are suffering, while witnessing, sharing the gospel of Christ, and helping to also bring mercy to that, that's what we're here for.
Eric soon leaves for another boots-on-the-ground trip. He's being embedded with the Mercy Medical Team to Kenya in June. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂഥറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
Kip Allen and Craig D'Onofrio talked with the head of the Lutheran Church in Korea, Dr. Cho Hwan Kim, and touched upon several topics.
Dr. Kim,
thank you for having me here.
Indeed, our honor, sir.
It is. In the Lutheran Church in Korea, how many churches are there?
So far, we have 51 congregations.
51, and how many parishioners in total?
Altogether, 6,200.
And it's a fairly new church body in the history of things. Started by one of our professors, wasn't it?
Yeah, his name is Won Young Ji.
Dr. Ji.
He came to here. And then after finishing his study, a PhD from the Concordia Seminary, and then he came back to my country 1958 with three LCMS missionaries. So he found my church. We call it LCK, Lutheran Church in Korea. That is kind of the history we start with the LCMS.
Dr. G was an extraordinary man and a wonderful professor. It was often said that his German was better than his English. But yeah. A tremendous scholar and a kind and wonderful man, wasn't he?
Yeah. I heard that the one kind of the humorous stories. The Old Testament professor wrote down the kind of the Latin word. And then Dr. Won Young Ji point out, hey, professor, you made some mistake in spelling that Latin word. And then that is a very famous story. Recently, I had the chance to visit German. Uh-huh. And then I met Dr. Becker. And then the Won Young Ji was General Secretary of Asia in LWF. When he finished, he moved to the German, and then he was in the Neuendetershau, kind of the Lehrer's hometown. And so when he spoke the German, the neighbors was surprised. You were born in German?
They call Dr. G the Luther of Korea. Mm-hmm. He was very instrumental in Orthodox Lutheranism in Korea. Before Dr. G was there, were there Lutherans in Korea?
No, not at all. There is a debate who was the first missionary for my country. Usually we mention about the name of the Allen and Pengele from the Baptist, or Underwood from the Presbyterian. They usually came to my country in 1884 or 1885. But recently we found Guchlav. The Guchlav, he came to my country in 1836. But he stayed in my country only for 3 months. But what we found, he was a missionary from the German Lutheran. Mm-hmm. So now we are debate. So Lutheran was the first missionary. So I think we have to think very seriously. The first missionary for the Korean is a Lutheran.
Hmm.
But otherwise, before the Won Young Ji, we had no Lutherans.
In a lot of what we in the West refer to as the third world countries, the Lutheran German Church was very, very active in places like Africa and Asia. And I'm assuming this is probably what happened in Korea as well.
Mm-hmm. So, interestingly enough, the Guchlav taught the Korean people how to raise up the potatoes. Since before then, we didn't have any potatoes, but after him, now potatoes is a very, very main kind of the plants for us. So when I see some Korean people, they have a kind of the potatoes, you know, who brought the potatoes, so you should be a Lutheran.
So the Lutherans brought the potatoes to Korea.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Before you, how many presidents were there of the Korean Lutheran Church?
I'm a sixth president.
Sixth president.
So, five before.
Okay. The Presbyterian Church, how is it that the Presbyterians have become so popular in Korea?
Because I already mentioned that 1894, the Underwood was a Presbyterian, and the next year the Apengelo was a Methodist. Otherwise, there was no other kind of the denominations missionary. So that is a part of the reason why the Presbyterian and the Methodist are very strong in my country, because they're Presbyterian missionaries.
And we talk about persecution of the church all over the world. Mm. One of the places that we will talk about on occasion is North Korea, that the church is terribly persecuted there. Mm. And some Christians, I don't know from what church or what, have set up a radio station that broadcasts into North Korea, and I guess they just read the Bible over and over slowly so people can write it down so that they can learn the Bible and that sort of thing in North Korea. Does the South Korean church have any mission work going toward North Korea? Is there any kind of outreach that can be done into North Korea?
I think it's very hard, but recently there was a kind of a movie. It's so sad and that touched the heart of the South Korean people, because that is a movie. Main theme is was the life of the underground church in North Korea. And then through the movie, with so many kind of the very severe persecutions. So the movie clearly tells us in North Korea has some Christian, but they are underground and then they are persecuted very seriously.
So how easy is it for Koreans in both North and the South to use the internet to help spread the gospel?
So far, actually, I do not know many things related to the North Korean, but it is a gospel since that I am going to meet some North Korean pastors in July in Switzerland. I am also kind of the vice president of KNCC, kind of the National Church Councils, and don't get too much, but I'm going to be a president of the KNCC in 2017. So it's a very great honor for me. But anyway, so in July, it is gospel since I'm going to meet some leader of North Korea. So I hope I want to learn a lot of the North Korea, and then we are going to seek some way how to help them for evangelism. But actually, so far, I do not know many things related to the North Korea.
Well, going to the Republic of Korea, South Korea, Christianity is not the dominant faith in that country. And as Craig pointed out, of those who are Christian, most of them are Presbyterian. How do we go about, we as Lutherans, how do we go about spreading the message in the South? How do you do it, and how can we here in the United States help spread the message of Lutheranism to South Korea?
Through the history of the kind of the 1950s, Lutheranism mission started from the 1958. So far, about more than the 56 years. But first of things, you know, I have to point out the missionary work. Three missionaries came to my country in 1958, just finished the Korean War. My country was so devastated by that war, and then the missionaries came from the LCMS, and then they tried to build some Lutheran world in my country. Yeah.
Well, what are we doing now?
Good job in the personal witnesses to the kind of the non-believers. But the Korean Lutheran Church has some university, one university having 800 students. They are from usually non-believers kind of the family or some other religions. So we evangelize them. And then also we have a Lutheran Hour program in Korea. So using that Lutheran Hour program, every morning we have a broadcasting, the preaching every morning, the 15 minutes or something.
Is that radio or television?
Radio.
Radio.
Of course, we have a television system, and then I'm a board member of the one of the very well-known television broadcasting company. So very occasionally, kind of when we have a kind of a Reformation memorandum kind of the service, usually they show the kind of the worship through the television.
Dr. Kim, I'd like to ask you personally, how did you become a Lutheran? Were you born into it? Did you convert?
Actually, my father was the elder of the Presbyterian. So when I was born, I was a Presbyterian. But when I was in the college, and then I thought the one kind of the advertisement, if you want to become a Lutheran pastor, we will give you a scholarship something. So that was a bait of becoming the Lutheran. And then at that time, so I saw that kind of the advertisement with my friend. And then I asked him, do you know the Lutheran? What in the world the Lutheran is? And then he told me that I do not know. But the one thing I know, it is not the pagan. So because of that kind of the offer of the scholarship, I just knocked the door of the Lutheranism. And then it was a blessing. I am very proud of being a Lutheran pastor.
Now, was that for a seminary there in Korea, or was that to come to America?
Before the come to the America, it was a seminary. So kind of the 1976, I become a Lutheran.
What is the future of the church? Is it growing?
Yeah, we are growing. We are growing. So every year we plant two churches. Every year, so far we have 51 congregations, but we are going to have more congregations and more the pastors. So we have a very good seminaries.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have 15 candidates of the
wow.
Seminarians.
Very
they
good.
Will be a pastor. So.
The Ghana Church opened up a seminary there, and one of the main reasons for that was that it's very difficult to bring seminarians into the United States, both in terms of cost and the cultural differences between the various countries. The idea being that the seminary in the local country is very, very good to bring people, and they don't have it's more cost effective. They don't have the cultural shock that they would have come into the United States. So I should imagine that this will be a very, very good tool. For the Lutheran Church in Korea to help spread the message.
Yeah, you mentioned a very important thing that, of course, it's very much true, you know, when we try to come here, the cost a lot. Now I'm very much thinking, of course, NRK, the Japanese Lutheran Church, we have a very brotherhood kind of the relationship. So why don't you open the kind of the seminary for the Asian Lutheran potential kind of the candidate of the pastors? Because Lutheran University has a very good facilities to accommodate them. And then when they come to the Korea, the cost a lot cheaper than coming back.
So you would educate in all of the languages of the various countries?
That's very tough, but you know, you are very much a blessing because English can be the official language in teaching them. So,
what do you see as the biggest challenge of Christianity and of Lutheranism in your country and in Asia?
For the case of my country, of course, we are smallest denomination, you know, other denomination more than millions, you know, members. But we have I already mentioned that 6,200, only 6,000 Lutherans. But the number is not big issue, I think, because the Korean Lutherans has a kind of the nickname of a little giant. Because even though we have a small number, but we are doing many things very active, kind of the Better Bible Series, you know. Do you know the Better Bible Series? It's a kind of the program for studying the Bible. And then it takes a kind of the 2 years to finish all studies, very well known the program. Better Bible study written by the Lutheran pastor of LCMS, and then we translate, and then now we have more than 500,000 lay people study their program. So we have only 6,000, but more than 500,000 people are studying that kind of the Bible study program. When we start the Lutheranism in Korea, we had consider very seriously between the Mission A project and Mission B project. Mission A project is a kind of we plant our own churches, you know, so we can we could have a more number of the congregations. But the Mission B project is a kind of the support already established Korean whole churches beyond the denominations. And so we took the Mission Project B, kind of the support of whole Korean Christianity through the kind of the mass media or kind of the social welfare, that kind of the thing. So that kind of the one of the reason, because we have a small number of the Lutheranism, but in activity or supporting things, we are doing great things. So other denominations put our nickname as a little giant. So in the future, we are going to train or brand Kikoin.
The little giant.
And little giant.
And we wish you all of God's blessings as you continue to get these Bible studies out, hopefully to millions instead of half a million. But
thank you.
And also as you continue to grow your churches. And we pray all the Lord's best for you. President Kim, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me here. It's a great honor.
It's been our honor, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.